What's up, babes? Welcome back to the podcast. Today is a special podcast, so we have a different intro for you today. We are coming at you live from the Good Vibes studio over in Arcadia, Arizona, where I am not only sitting with my dear friend, Haley Westfall, who just also launched her podcast called The Table. Definitely make sure you guys go over and check it out. It is straight fire. We put all of our information in the show notes. But we are also live in person with over 25 female entrepreneurs. We have people here who have traveled in from, we have like New York, we have California, we have in Utah. And we are all sitting around tonight networking, mingling, growing our businesses, asking each other for help, and learning from Haley and I live on this live podcasting recording. So enjoy this special treat and stay tuned for round two coming up shortly. What's up? I am so excited to be here with Haley today. We're actually recording a live podcast from the Good Vibes studio, and we are in-house today. Haley, let's chat about who you are and what you do.
Hello, everyone. My name is Haley Westfall. I am the host of The Table podcast. It just launched yesterday. Can we get a round of applause? Guys, we're killing it. First step is the hardest, yes. Right? I'm so excited. So yeah, my podcast just launched yesterday, and it's really focused on diving into the value of relationship building when it comes to business, because we both, as well as everyone in this room, believe that business and life is meant to be done in community and meant to be done together. And there's so much great impact that can come when you really buy into that thought process. And so, yeah, that's me. What about you?
Amazing. So my name is Jillian Murphy. I am a sales and business strategist. I also have a podcast called the Sales and Social Podcast, where I was actually just talking about this today. 1 year ago, we were actually at episode 50, and today we are actually at episode 156.
Woo!
So in 1 year, amazing, right? In 1 year, we have cranked out like over 100 episodes, and it really just talks about like the importance of just doing the damn thing over and over and over and being consistent. So we thought this was so good to come live together and chat, because there's such an incredible bond between sales and community together.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think sometimes community gets like the warm and fluffy persona assigned to it, right? We're like, it makes us feel good and it gives us friends and all of those things, but it actually has so much like tangible value to grow and scale your business, create massive impact in your revenue streams. And so that's why we thought this was a perfect conversation, especially because a lot of those misconceptions. And so we actually met in community, mm-hmm. which is so funny. Jillian actually just moved here like mm-hmm. a couple of months ago.
We became like instant business besties.
I know. Yeah. And you were from Michigan before. Mm-hmm. And so we met in another community and then have connected in other communities. She's spoken for my formal community, Collab Culture. Mm-hmm. And now we're all bringing you guys together here in community today, which is super cool. Let's dive into first the misconceptions around community and sales, and where it's really hard to differentiate between building relationships with people and selling them. So I want to get your initial thoughts. And we actually had a question that came in. I was like, I'm looking at you because you're going to get on the spot to ask it. Yes, that's you. So when you are building community and you are also selling something, right? Because we all have businesses, we're all making money, and that's how we're growing. Sometimes it can feel gross, right? Sometimes you feel like, are they going to feel weird if like we're friends, but I'm also like selling them something? Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that mindset and kind of the perspective shift that you have to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this question so much because one, I want you guys all to really think about the fact that you are building communities. You are also still bringing people together that are your potential buyers, right? Like looking at your community as buyers, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that because you're bringing so much other value to them and other things that you absolutely do. So I think that you just always need to remember that like at the core of everything you do, like you are selling. You're selling them to even come into your community for free. You're selling them to come into your free Facebook group. You're selling them to come into your networking call. So, you know, there is definitely this thing around it. One of the biggest issues that I see that people have with communities that people come to me for on the sales side, right? They're with Haley, they're building these incredible communities. But what happens a lot of times is they come to me is they're like, hey, I have a community, but now I can't extract sales out of it. I'm looked at as a peer, or I'm looked at as a friend, or how do I give, do I have to give discounts maybe to like my sister or a business bestie or some of those things. And part of the thing that you really have to remember is that even though you are curating this amazing community, you are still running a business at the end of the day. So where I see this really go wrong is that you are showing up in community, but you are actually showing up as a peer. So one of the most tangible things that you can do always when you're creating community is still always showing up as the expert and giving value, right? So I have built an incredible community in the online space, but my audience, my community, my buyers, they also know exactly what I do. They know how to pull out their credit cards and pay me. They know how I can absolutely solve their problems. And it doesn't get weird when they pay it. I mean, I have people in this room that have been with me for 3 years, and I'm still like great mentor to them and also like some of their closest friends. So I think that as long as you can split the difference of like being a friend with someone and also being a mentor, it's absolutely okay to do.
Yeah. Do you have any specifics on this scenario that you want to give more context? I'm totally putting you on the spot. It's okay. Your face is so red.
No, it's a reflection of your beautiful shirt. So for me, I've had my candle company for 7 years. I've always given a friends and family discount, always. And with community, I feel like I've really made like friends, you know? And there's a few people who joined my program that I have now, and it was always like, I always give discounts. And I never got asked, like, hey, do you have, I was like, oh, here's like a special discount for you because I just love you so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get out of that, but I'm also kind of okay with doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's more on like the selling side, you know?
Yeah.
Not really like the discount side, mm-hmm. but how do I approach somebody who's a friend and is like, hey, like you really, you know, this is my program. This could really benefit you. I, you know, would love for you to think about joining, mm-hmm. even with a discount, right?
Yeah.
But it's just approaching a friend, because mm-hmm. as community builders, I have mm-hmm. so many friends, you
yeah.
know, that I genuinely like love and adore. Mm-hmm. So I think just taking that next step is just.
Yep. Yeah. I have a quick clarifying question. So they're not necessarily always asking. Right. No, you just feel yeah. obligated. Yeah. So it's so you. You're actually the problem. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I have so much. It's like the Taylor Swift song. Hi, yeah. it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah. And yeah. we've now figured yeah. it out. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that one I just want to say. Part of the reason why I don't give discounts in my business, whether it's a friend, a family, a sister, a brother, anyone, is because I actually feel like it's out of integrity for everybody else. Even let's say I had a program that was ending on March 1st and there was a price discount and somebody messages me on March 2nd, I absolutely don't honor it, because it's really important that you stay in integrity for every single person that is coming in. And the other thing is, like, you guys, you're building communities and people talk to each other. And maybe you don't realize that, but someone's like, oh, what are you paying? Or what are you paying? And then there starts to be this very, very, very uncomfortable thing. I was in a mastermind one time, and we were all sitting around at dinner, and like every single person at the table paid something different. Mm. And it was so uncomfortable, because I was like, well, why did you pay that? And I paid that. And it's just really a reflection back on like the integrity. The other thing I want to say on this is I have two very long running one-on-one coaching clients. One is my stepsister and one is one of my best friends who has a product-based business. And the reason that they are still longtime clients is because I absolutely separate it between friendship and business. So when my sister comes to those coaching calls, we are working on her hair salon business. And when we're out at the mall or I'm over there hanging out with her kids when I live back in Detroit, like she didn't ask me business questions. And when you start to give people discounts or family and friends things, what I've learned personally is they don't show up the same way. They cancel calls. Oh, that's my sister. That's whatever, right? She shows up just as good, if not better, than every one of my one-on-one clients, because she is paying top dollar to work with me. And I can also coach her from a mentor, not as a sister. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that is really, really good. And then the other client who actually has the journals, she was actually the maid of honor at my wedding, a longtime friend. And she said, hey, I really want to work with you to build my product-based business. Like, is there any sort of like swap we can do, right? Anybody ever get asked for swaps, mm-hmm. barters, any of that? And I just said, in all honesty, I don't do that, because it has to stay in integrity for everybody else in there. So I think you'll also show up differently when you realize like everyone's paying the same thing, because if my sister, let's say, was paying 50% less, and then you were a one-on-one client, I would actually be like, oh my God, my sister's on my calendar, when I could actually be taking somebody else. So when everybody is priced the same, you actually show up to the calls as such a better leader, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think we have to get out of the mindset of like selling them and instead serving them, because mm-hmm. you are such a servant leader, yeah. and you give so much away for free. and so much away in your paid capacity. And so I think when we're in that mindset of like, oh, they're my people and I don't want to sell them and I don't want them to feel gross, I think instead of flipping it and saying like, what a gift. Like, I actually just released a podcast episode yesterday with Jess DeRose and we talked about that. We actually have a responsibility. If we have a gift and it can create an impact in somebody else's life, we have a responsibility to share that gift with them. Mm-hmm. And these people are going to show up in that higher level capacity when they're aligning the appropriate value with so much immense gold, mm-hmm. no pun intended for the candles,
right?
Immense gold that you have to offer. So I think it is difficult, but I think it's something that has to be held consistently because mm-hmm. otherwise it's just such a slippery slope to go down. And I think holding that boundary is really respectful on both parties' mm-hmm. sides, right? Where it's like we all have boundaries in all different capacities, and being able to hold those and really stand true to them is holding us in integrity mm-hmm. too, to really be consistent and showing up in the same capacity for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Is that helpful? Yeah, I mean, even everybody in this room, like really think about like why you're doing what you do, right? Why are you the coach for women over 40? Why are you the fertility coach? Why are you the mindset coach? And really asking yourself, like, are you bought in right now on your own products, programs, and services? And if you are, and you meet somebody that is standing across from you or across the room or wherever, and you know that you can help them. I mean, I ask people all the time, like, hey, I see that you're trying to build this coaching business. I'm following you on social media. I see that you're spinning out of control. Would you be open to like having a conversation?
Because like, she's like, I feel attacked.
I'm literally not telling you right now. But you guys, like, if you know that you can help somebody, mm-hmm. like, you need to like be bold and say it. And you know what? Everyone in here has different personalities. Some people are going to be a little bit more shy, introverted. I actually have a very direct personality, so it's a little bit easier for me. But also, even regardless of my personality, I know that I can help people. So if I see someone who is doing some of these things, it's like, hey, I see what you're doing. I'd love to help you get there quicker. And the way that I just say it is like, would you be open to a conversation? Would you be open to taking this conversation somewhere farther? So again, let them lead it, but just ask them, like, would you be open to doing it? Yeah. You know, we just heard Lindsay in here today who has like these amazing supplements. What if she didn't tell anybody about them? And there's people in this room who were struggling with something, right? Or there was someone in this room who was struggling with energy, but they couldn't have caffeine, and I didn't want to share my products. I felt weird about being salesy. Like, it really is your responsibility to tell people, like, how you solve their problems.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if I don't know you personally, I actually spent about 20 years in the corporate space prior to becoming an entrepreneur. I have a master's degree in leadership. I led massive teams of like 500 people. And I fell into entrepreneurship after a corporate layoff. I went from making a shitload of money to making no money real quick. And we had to figure something out. Yes, we're kindred spirits in that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? And so I actually started in the social media strategy space. And that is really where I kind of fell into. People were like, oh, you're good at this. Could you help me? Could you help me? And I built a business strictly based on referrals because I am such a relationship builder, that serial connector. And I did it for a couple of years. And last year, thanks to Inbal mm-hmm. and some other very dear friends, we formed our kind of own little mini mastermind. And I had a deep realization that I was playing small and in turn withholding so much immense impact that I could make for other people. And I actually felt like guilty, like what a disservice, and not in like a self-centered way, but like I am playing so small when I know I can be serving in such a higher capacity with businesses that are big, small, everything in between, people with teams and people that are really looking to create growth and impact in their business. And I'm like, social media also kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to do that anymore. So I legitimately burned my entire business to the ground last year, burned my entire offer suite to the ground. And we're like, we're going to start over different. And I can't tell you, like, I show up in such a different way now and I feel so aligned. And I was scared. I'm like, what if people, this is more than I was charging before. What if people don't feel aligned? But at the end of the day, I know the impact I can create for other people, and I just have to feel confident in that. Mm-hmm. And the people who it's meant for is who it's going to find.
Yeah, I was actually getting, I talked about this recently on my podcast. I was recently getting my sunroof fixed, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. You guys, I had dog sweatpants on. My hair was in a top knot. I had a sweatshirt on that probably had like toothpaste or something on it. Like, I legit looked homeless, okay? And I'm at the sunroof place getting it fixed, and I'm waiting there, you know, for hours to get my sunroof fixed, and the owner's sitting there behind the table or whatever. And I was like, how long have you been here? And he was like, oh, telling me a story. And he's like, sales are like really down though. You know, we're a high-end car dealership. A lot of people aren't buying high-end cars right now, blah, 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 whatever. And I thought for myself, okay, I can either say something, like I can absolutely help you grow your business with marketing, sales, or whatever, or I can sit back here and be like timid, even because like of the way that I look right now. And I literally was like, hey, don't pay attention to this outer appearance right now.
Look away.
Yeah, I was like, because clearly I look like I just rolled out of bed because I did. But you are telling me about all the struggles that you're literally having in your business right now. And this is exactly what I do. If you would be open to having a conversation, I would love to clean up, shower, make an appointment, and come back and actually talk to you. And we had a great meeting. Whether or not it closes, we'll see where it goes. But like, that's also like, you can sit there and play small and be like, oh, I don't want to say anything. This might be weird. It might be uncomfortable. Who knows how I look? I'm on my social media stories. But like, if you have something that you can absolutely help somebody with, like, I truly believe like it is our responsibility to be like, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be talking about it constantly.
I talk about something blue in the face.
Yeah. Because I think it's, again, back to that, it's just the one person that needs it. And if we can create impact for that one person, like that's enough, right? One person who needed our message, who needed our gift, who needed the thing that we had at that time. And I think that's so important. Who goes into networking events or rooms like this or whatever you want to call it, co-ed, just women, whatever it is, and does not talk about their business? Don't even not raise your hand, because I know you've done it before. Thank you.
The amount of you that told me that you have a podcast today, I had no idea you had a podcast, and I follow every one of you. I was like, that is you selling right there. Why don't people know that you have a podcast? Right? Yeah. Like, why don't people know these things?
I think sometimes we get in these rooms because A, we see the immense value that's in them. Or if we're being perfectly honest, sometimes we have FOMO and mm-hmm. we're just like, I want to be there, but I don't want to talk to anyone. I actually just want to go and have no one else talk to me.
That was kind of me today. Yeah. I was kind of like, do I have to go to the front? Can I send them back with Christina?
Yeah. But I think, again, it goes back to that, like, when we're showing up in these rooms and we're building community, right? You're going to go into some rooms and it's going to be so apparent. You're like, ooh, these are not my people.
We were at one together.
And then other times you're going to go into rooms and it's like such a breath of fresh air. And you're like, can be normal and genuine and imperfect. And it's like, oh, this feels good, right? Mm-hmm. But I think either way, it's like working a muscle and getting in the room, talking about your business, even when it feels gross, because you're going to be able to watch people's body language and see like what's sticky. Like what are the things that are where they're like, ooh, like you kind of see like their interest peak, or they like lean in a little bit, or they just look wildly confused because you word vomited on them. And so I think I go to a ton of events. I host a ton of events, and I have had to become very, very intentional about looking at each event, really getting clear with like, who's in the room? Are these people that are, you know, mentors that I'm like really looking for mentorship with? Is it peers, colleagues, possible referral partners, possible leads? Is it a mix? And having a really clear understanding of who's in the room and how am I going to introduce myself, and really holding myself to that. Mm-hmm. I actually started doing this probably about, I don't know, 6 months ago, tracking all of the events that I go to in person. I do it in Trello. It's very like basic. It's not anything crazy. And I have a little card for each event. And what I've started doing is whenever I meet someone, so say I like met Jillian.
What's up?
What's up, girl?
And she's like, your shirt.
Oh, thanks. Like your pants.
Thanks.
And what do you do?
So this is a great question, because mm-hmm. when I am at in-person networking events, I never say I'm a sales coach. Mm-hmm. I never say I'm a sales strategist. I never say I'm a business strategist. I say I help businesses make more money.
Perfect. And say, oh, how can we connect? Oh, can I follow you on Instagram? Okay, perfect. Follow, then pro tip, screenshot, mm-hmm. because you're not going to remember what their handle is. Yep. I have an album in my phone that I throw them into. Same. So I can follow up. And then once I follow up with them, I delete them out of the album so that it's like clean. And I use that album to then go back to my Trello and put everybody in there so I can be really intentional about following up with them. Because the number of people that are like, let's connect, they never do.
They never do.
Right? And so be different and make that lasting impression with people. But you have to be clear on how you're going to introduce yourself and be memorable. It doesn't have to be crazy. No. Simple is better. and have a follow-up process. And so going through having that process, I put all of my follow-ups on there. And again, it may not be a potential client. It could be somebody that I just really felt a good connection with, or I want to explore possibly working with in a partnership capacity, or I just liked their energy, like whatever. Follow up, I stick it in there. And that way, when that event or that, you know, something with that community or that style comes back, it requires me to almost use a filter to then look at it and say, okay, what happened last time? Mm-hmm. And then I click the card and it's empty and I'm like, connected with no one, stellar. Mm-hmm. Maybe not my room. But if I go back and I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, I met this person there. And then, oh my gosh, I love her, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's going to give me a better gauge of where my time is most valuable. Brenda, was that helpful? Did you have like more clarifying questions on it, or is that okay?
Yeah, I just got so much value out of you sharing that little system in the Community Builders call.
Yeah.
And I immediately put it into place because I do use Trello for other stuff, and I never thought to use it for those kind of interactions. And I had kind of half of a system, like doing the screenshots and things like that. But I have to, and then I'd have notes, but I have to like go and hunt all this stuff down. And if I had 5 events that week, like I only got to the last 2 of them. And so I love that process because then it has it all clearly mapped out, and the idea that you're looking back as you go on, like, okay, this event's coming back up again next year.
Yeah.
Should I be going to that one, or should I be looking to spend my time elsewhere? Because there's so many events, it's hard to really figure out which one. So that was so helpful to me, and I was like, please share because I know there's going to be people that are here tonight that can benefit, and also the people who are going to hear this recording, that it'll absolutely benefit. Oh, so smart.
Yeah, and choose what works for you. Like, if you're not a Trello girly, don't use Trello just for that, because you're not going to do it. Write it in a paper planner, put it on a post-it and stick it on your wall. I don't care what you do with it, but figure out a way that works for you that's going to hold you accountable to make sure you're not just attending things and not having an ROI on your time. Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to comment that I actually booked a gifted consult right then and there. We just did it here and sent my link to someone else. Like, I really truly do want to collaborate with you, whether it's getting to know your story or like doing my Live or something. And so it's like, I'm serious. Let's book.
Get on the calendar while you're here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think to your point, like leading with that servant mindset of like, how can I serve first? Because nobody wants you just to word vomit on them trying to sell them something. So I think that's a great reminder of like, even when you introduce yourself to someone, ask about them first before you even talk about yourself. And that just kind of creates that servant-led energy where it's like, oh, they're actually asking about me first. And it just gives a little bit of a different shift in what they're probably encountering, especially at larger events when there's like so many people. It just kind of like mixes things up, catches them off guard a little bit, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of you guys, you know, you guys are going to networking events, whether it's a live podcasting event, you know, whatever group it is. But remember that like you're networking every single day in real life. Like when you pick up your kids from school, when you're at the hairdresser, when you're at the dentist, right? Like all of those places. So it doesn't always need to be like an intentional spot. When you said like you talk about it everywhere you go, everywhere I go, people are like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, let me tell you, because they might know somebody or somebody else might know somebody. And I just, in case you guys missed that little tip that I gave, this is a really important thing. When you guys are networking and you meet somebody and you instantly say like, I'm a business coach, or I'm a business strategist, I'm a business whatever, psychologically back the person puts up a wall and they're defensive and they're like, oh, like she's a coach, she's a consultant, like she's trying to sell me, right? Like that's human nature of sales psychology. But if I'm in a room with somebody and I'm like, hey, Madison, it's super nice to meet you. What do you do? And she tells me and I'm like, oh, I help women make more money in their business. That naturally is going to spark a conversation. She's going to say, well, like, how do you do that? What do you do? What do you mean, right? Then there's like this whole next thing that actually starts to happen. So I want you guys to really start to practice that, because that'll be a game changer when you guys are out there. Because again, when you're in a room, everybody's like, I'm a business coach, I'm a strategist, I'm a whatever, but like doing it like that. And then one of the questions that I always ask is like, hey, Madison, I see that you are a money coach trying to help women, you know, build generational wealth. What is a great introduction for you? I'd love to introduce you. Now the law of reciprocity is I am going to go out and I'm going to find someone that I can connect her with. I'm going to connect her with somebody, and then she's going to be like, wow, I met Jillian at this event. She was totally engaged in me. She asked about me, and she just made an introduction from somebody else. Now my community becomes very valuable to her, because she's getting introductions, she's getting referrals. It's not just like, what can I give for that? So that is like two main things that I do anytime I'm networking.
Yeah. And I think there's also a misconception around what community has to look like. And so I would really challenge you to think about every aspect of your life, whether it's business, whether it's as a mom, as a wife, as a friend, in your church, like wherever it is that you're in, you know, community with people, big, small, everything in between. Community does not, it's not like a one size fits all model. It doesn't have to fit in this perfect little picture, right? Like the little Tiffany's box with the white bow and like it always looks the same way.
I like that box though.
I know.
Just saying.
Also, yes.
I'm here for that box.
Right. But it doesn't always have to look that way. And I think sometimes we get in our heads where, especially if you're a little bit more on the introverted side, it may feel like literally I would rather light myself on fire than go to a room and sit amongst 100 strangers. Like I'm going to be crawling out of my skin. I would challenge you to figure out what would this look like for me? Because I promise you there's somebody else that it would look like that for them as well. And so I've shared this before plenty of times, but I, you know, the community that I run here in Arizona, Collab Culture, is big. We have 140 active members. It's large. We meet every week. It's a lot. Energetically, it's a lot. I love it. I'm like a raging extrovert, but it is definitely like larger in size. And I've actually shared numerous times as a community builder, it can sometimes feel like it's not kind of an even swap where it's like I'm always pouring in other people. What does that look like for me? And like, do I have anything left at the end of the day? And so for me, the largest like impact in my life through community last year was through a group of, there was four of us, like this little baby group. And I needed so much support and so much accountability and people that are willing to ask the hard questions, right? It's not just like love and hugs and you're doing great with a little smack, right? I mean, that's great too, but like you need the people that are going to ask you like, but you said that you were going to do this. Mm-hmm. Or like, do you really think that that's your best yes? Or I actually think you're really selling yourself short. You need the people that are willing to push you because they know you're capable of more. And I really struggled a lot with my health last year. It was honestly kind of a shit show. And again, burned my business to the ground and rebuilt it. And I needed a lot of that. I was a little squirrely and I needed like that grounding, like we're here to support you, but also we're going to hold you to the fire because we know you can show up in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. And so think about that. If community and getting in community, whether you're facilitating or you're participating, if it feels overwhelming, think about what would an ideal opportunity look like for me and make it. Mm-hmm. It could be one other person. It could be an accountability buddy and you guys go to coffee every other week and just talk about life. You do life and business together, or maybe it's just one or the other. The other thing I think we get in the mindset of is like, we want everybody to fill all of our needs. Right? Think about it with like your best friend, your sister, your significant other. You're like, well, I need you to be everything. And they're like, cool, impossible. And so I think we do ourselves a disservice and others by expecting that of them, mm-hmm. right? Your friend who's the challenger maybe isn't going to be the warm and fuzzy hugger all the time. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to go to my, you know, friends who doesn't have kids to ask about parenting advice, or my friend who isn't married to ask about marriage advice. Like there's so many different facets of life and there's impossible to expect someone to be everything for you. So look at where you're really needing that support, whether it's in business, in life, and figure out who those people are. And if you can't find it, be it and put that message out into the world, because I promise you there is somebody else that needs it so much that just isn't brave enough to do it on their own. And that's what we did. And we're like, do you guys want to hang out with us? We just want this community. And we were like, oh shit, there's a lot of you now.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, 10 of us are going to meet at a coffee shop. And we met and we're like, you know, for Collab Culture, we're like, do you guys think this is good? They're like, sure, we'll do it. And then next thing you know, 3 days later, there was 45 of us. And we're like, guess we're not meeting at the coffee shop. And it's grown evergreen since, like on its own, organically, word of mouth, referrals only. Like we don't do paid marketing or anything. And it's just been absolute gold. I know, I'm like, OG's in the back. But 2 years later, we're just still thriving. And it just took us to be the brave one to take the leap and go out and do it. And even like you were saying, when you're talking about your business at events, you could have someone standing next to you that's literally horrified, mm-hmm. like shitting their pants, thinking about having to talk about their business to somebody else. And they hear you and they're like, oh, it doesn't have to be that hard. Mm-hmm. Like she literally just told someone she helps people make more money. Mm-hmm. I need to do something easy like that, right?
Yeah. One of the things that you said that I really loved is like, asking yourself, like, what do you really need, right? And then finding it out in community. So I'm actually going to tell you guys, like, a really funny story. Yesterday, I actually messaged Haley because I have been in Arizona now since September, and I feel like I have made a lot of really good business friends, right? People want to get together, and they want to talk about building a business and an empire and all of these things. And, like, I'm really missing, like, my, like, girlfriends at home. Like, someone to come over and, like, watch a movie or, like, just, like, eat popcorn or, like, cry about boys. Like, just all the real things, right? So, literally, yesterday, I texted her and I was, like, it was, like, the most awkward.
It was, like, the most awkward. It was a voice message, which was even better.
It was, like, the most awkward message. I was, like, half laughing and also kind of, like, half crying. I was very emotional yesterday. And I was just, like, hey, I know we have our event on Friday and it's going to be, like, really great, but, like, do you want to do, like, a real friend thing on Saturday? Like, I was like, do you want to, like, maybe, like, go to the mall? I was like, do you maybe, like, want to, like, go to the mall? Or, like, I know Inball's in. Like, maybe she could, like, come with us. But, like, I just want to, like, be your friend. Like, you guys, it was so uncomfortable. But I was like, and she was like, yeah, like, I totally do. So, like, be transparent about, like, what you need in life, right? If you're always walking around like, oh, I got this under control, or like, my business is great, or like, I'm building the best community, people are not going to know what to give you, right? The more that I tell people like, hey, like, I really want, like, girlfriends here. Guess what? I find girlfriends. Mm-hmm. So, like, totally be okay, like, being uncomfortable and awkward sometimes, because it'll literally open the floodgates.
Yeah. I think it's just like putting that big ask into existence, like giving it life, right? Like a balloon, blowing it up and letting it fly, and it will find the right person. And I think when we're doing business and life, that's so important. And when we're talking about the ways that we can serve people, whether we have a product-based business, a service-based business, we're creating impact in people's lives. We're filling a need that they have, and figuring out a way to create that emotional connection for them is huge. And sometimes, I think a lot of times in product-based businesses, mm-hmm. people really struggle with this because they're like, oh, well, I sell, like, you know,
journals or cups,
right,
or sweatshirts.
Cups. Yeah. That's whatever. Always the example I use. Yeah. I sell cups. And so it's like, if it's a product-based business, like, what is the impact that that's making for someone? I actually have a one-on-one client that has a product-based business for baby products. And mm-hmm. so she sells these curated baby boxes, and she also has a corporate job, so she does it on the side. And this is a conversation we've had a lot. And she's like, I just don't know. Like, I mean, it's just like a baby shower gift. I'm like, but it's not just a baby shower gift. Number one, you're making things way more convenient for mm-hmm. somebody, whether it's the mom on the run who literally doesn't want to take her three kids into Target to try to shop for a baby gift, or the person who doesn't have kids and doesn't want to feel uncomfortable because they give a gift that maybe the mom isn't going to like and they're not really sure what to buy, or just somebody who's looking for something beautiful and convenient. And OPS, you happen to be a adoptive family. They adopted their daughter and went through fertility, and sharing your story is giving opportunity for people to come together in community around that and mm-hmm. really being able to connect with one another. And she's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it can be more. It doesn't have to be so transactional.
Yeah. I mean, we created the Be Her Now movement. Actually, when I was here in September, I got it tattooed on my arm. It became a whole thing. And my community rallied around it. There is like an entire community around like Be Her Now. You guys, at the end of the day, it's just a really cool sweatshirt, mm-hmm. right? But it's like what you do around it, like the community that you build around it, the story that you build around it. Like, people want to be part of something. Mm-hmm. People want to be part of a movement, right? It's like, that's what people want. They want to be able to like share the story. They want to be able to see themselves in a Be Her Now sweatshirt, or what that embodies, or what that looks like, or what that feels like, right? So the more that you can talk about what your community is for someone and where they're actually going, people buy into the vision of what it is that you're creating.
Yeah. And I think when we focus on that impact that we're creating for other people, it also allows us to align with other people that are serving people in that same demographic in a different capacity, right? And so, like, I'm looking at Jaden. So, like, Jaden is a newish mom, right? Like, she has a nine-month-old? 11-month-old. Oh, my gosh. He's so fresh. But, you know, when she started her business, she wasn't a mom. And so she's done this entire rebrand and is really realigning her business and providing really accessible, easy exercises for women at home that create impact for them, and they're able to work them into their life, especially in motherhood. And so she, you know, wasn't in that season before, but she's serving the same demographic people as my client with the baby boxes, right? People who are serving in a completely different capacity. And when we're willing to talk more about our story and really intertwine that into when we're conversing with other people about our business, it becomes more than the transaction. Mm-hmm. And then not only are you creating an opportunity for someone to purchase from you, but you're creating opportunity for connections like that, where it's like, oh my gosh, maybe we could do a collaboration together. Or I would love to stick a, you know, QR code for this service in your boxes, and creating those opportunities. Even think about your swag bags, right? Mm-hmm. Simply, I just reached out to people that we already knew, right? And we were like, hey, we'd love to highlight some local businesses. Does anyone want to put something in our swag bag? And we were like, oh my gosh, there's a lot.
They were like, time out.
Right.
Yeah, there were so many.
But they were like, we're really passionate about local business and female-owned businesses, and we want to help support, and we also want to get our stuff in front of people that we know could benefit from it. Mm-hmm. We talk about that a lot, like leveraging like overlapping audiences.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, because mm-hmm. a lot of you guys right here, even in the same room, you guys share ideal clients with somebody else. You guys share, like, you know, me and Madison might have the same ideal client. Me and Inbal absolutely have the same ideal client, right? And there's so much power in doing things together. There is so much power in collaboration. And I think so often we are like, well, I don't know if I should do that with somebody else because they do the same thing. And like, remember, like, people are going to be drawn to your community for whatever it is that you do. And at the end of the day, like, this might be a little harsh for some of you, they can literally Google every single thing that you guys are teaching in here. They can Google it. They can ChatGPT at this point. They can buy a book from somebody else, right? Like, they can absolutely do it. People are buying into you because of like who you are as a leader, as a human, as a community builder, all those things. So the more that you show up as who you are in your actual power, they're going to be drawn to Haley. They're going to be drawn to me. They're going to be drawn to Inbal, right? There's a lot of people that are drawn to me, and there's a lot of people that aren't drawn to me, and that's absolutely okay. The same thing with Haley. And I think when you start to really show up in your own power, the people who are meant to be in your community are just like you. You know, I think even like in my community, when you come into like my calls and my world, you're like, oh my God, everyone's just like her. Because like, they're attracted to that type of energy, right? But if I was someone different online, and then people came into my community, they'd be like, this feels very much in alignment, or I'm trying to act like somebody else. So the more that you can actually stay like in your own personal power, mm-hmm. as you're building your community, the people will absolutely lean in, and the other people will absolutely lean out. And that's what you want.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we literally word vomited on you. Does anyone have any questions? Are you guys doing okay? Need to stretch?
Snacks.
Okay, great. I think one of the biggest things that we look at when we are in business is our time. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to touch on really quickly, when we are building our business and especially trying to grow our revenue, looking at how we're spending our time and making sure that that's in alignment with focusing on our goals. And so I kind of alluded to this earlier. Sometimes the FOMO can be real, or we do things out of a sense of guilt or obligation. And I want to really encourage you to like keep that focal point. Think about like, I mean, I'm not like a professional dancer or anything, but I do remember in high school that when we were doing certain turns, they were like, you need to find your focus point. And every time you turn, you're still looking at that thing. And I think it's really important to keep that front of mind. And so if my focal point is, you know, growing my sales this year by 50%, mm-hmm. then all of the activities that I do in my business that are utilizing my time should be in some way, shape, or form pointing me towards that goal.
All of them.
And anything else, we really need to consider, is this necessary? Is this a right now problem? It doesn't mean that you're never going to address it, but is it a right now problem? Is it a not right now problem? Or is it simply misaligned? Mm-hmm. I actually talked about this in my People to Profit, which is my signature group coaching program. This week, we talked about the difference between avoidance and misalignment. And so we talked about when I get to something and I acknowledge, like, my goal is to double my revenue this year. Okay, perfect. Now we take all the things that I'm doing, and it's like, what are the things that are not getting done? Is it not getting done because I'm simply avoiding it because it's awful, or I'm scared, or I feel like I'm not an expert in that field, or I don't have the resources, or I'm seeking mentorship, whatever those things are? Or am I not doing it because it simply doesn't serve me? Mm-hmm. It's misaligned, and like it just needs to get to the, you know, the sidelines over there. It needs to be removed from the equation. And I think a lot of times there's just so much noise. And I don't know about you guys, honestly, even with launching my podcast yesterday, I was telling some ladies this in the parking lot earlier. In my head, I was like, you screwed something up. Something went wrong. You forgot to do something. It's not going to go live. You know, what if the audio sucks? Blah, 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 blah. Like the video quality isn't good enough. So many things. And I think there's so much noise and there's so many people that are going to tell you what's the most important thing and what you need to be doing right now. And the order that things need to happen is going to look different from all of us. But I think it's really important for us to stay focused on whatever that goal is, whether it is even just getting your business off the ground, or it's getting a better support system because entrepreneurship can be isolating, and really growing our network. Whatever that focus is, we need to like put it on your forehead with a post-it. And every time you look in the mirror, look at it and say, are the activities that I'm doing today in relation to my business aligned with this goal, yes or no? Mm-hmm. And if they're not, we either need to get rid of them, or we need to find somebody else to do them for us, or figure out a way to create automations. Like there's so many different creative ways that we can do things, but figuring out a way to make sure that we're focusing our energy and showing up in our best self to move that needle towards our goals.
Yeah, there was two things that you said that I am obsessed with. One is the post-it note. I make all of my one-on-one coaching clients do this. Is when they start working with me, I have them write down how much money they've invested into their business to date. Sometimes it's $5,000, sometimes it's $50,000, sometimes it's $300,000. And we are going to look at that number every single day when you are spinning out of control, or you don't want to get on your social media stories, or you're buying something else that you don't need. And it's like, how quickly now can we make that money back? So that is something. And for a lot of people, you've never really looked at that number. But when you do, you're like, holy shit, I am spending a lot of money, I'm spinning out of control, I'm joining all these things, and yet I'm still not making money or profits in my business. And like, I literally am like, look at that post-it every single day. And a lot of people love that post, a lot of people hate that post-it, but I'll tell you what, that post-it is a fucking motivator, for sure, okay? The second thing that you said that I love is whether your goal is to increase your profits by 50% or grow a community or start the podcast or whatever, you have to remember that it's going to be boring. And doing things over and over and over. I talk about this all the time in my podcast. I'm talking about this right now in my Infinity program. A couple of you guys are in that. It's my signature program. And it's like doing things that are boring over. And Malia's like, yes, that was like a mic drop moment. Yes, we do this in the community. That's what she's doing it. But doing things over and over and over that are boring. So many of us are like trying something new every other day or every other week, or we do a masterclass and it doesn't convert. So then we change the name, we change the price, we change the graphic, we change all these things. But it's like doing the same thing over and over and over. I have been talking about the same thing, you guys, online for 3.5 years. Don't you think I want to talk about something different sometimes? Mm-hmm. Don't you think I want to make different graphics sometimes, different content sometimes? But it's the boring that works, and it's the boring that gets results.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think sometimes it seems mundane, or it seems like we're not moving the needle. But at the end of the day, the amount of digital consumption that people are exposed to nowadays is a little alarming. And the number of times that somebody needs to see or hear your message in order for that to actually click and resonate is like wildly high. Mm-hmm. Like it is like, I think like 4 or 5 times multiplied. It's mm-hmm. like almost 30 times or something like yeah. that now. So I would really encourage you to figure out what that avenue is for you. And if it's not social media, and social media sucks and you want to light yourself on fire doing it, then don't sell there. Figure mm-hmm. out a different way to sell. For me, I thrive in person. I love getting in person and connecting with people. I love talking to people in real life. That's why I go to so many in-person things. It's not because I have FOMO. It's literally because it's like my best place to create connections with people, because I always build relationships first. It's just how I operate. It's in my DNA. But recently, I was very resistant for a couple of years about building an email list. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't read half the emails I get. I don't want to read emails, blah, 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 blah. And especially over the last couple of years with social media and everything getting like, you know, everyone thinks, you know, the algorithm is out to get them or whatever the case may be. I was like, I guess I should build an email list because people keep losing their Instagram accounts and I'm going to be screwed. So I started pouring a little more energy into my email list. And I will tell you guys what, I'm not like the best at being consistent, but it is way more effective for me in my business. My open rate is like 75 to 80%. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly getting replies back from people, but it's because I write my emails in storytelling format. Mm-hmm. I'm always telling stories, sharing the chaos that's mm-hmm. happening in my life, sharing some nuggets of wisdom, probably not selling as much as I probably need to
I
be.
Got you, girl.
Yes, but that has been a better avenue for me. So yeah, I'm on social media. I probably should be a little more consistent. But for me, my return on investment for my time has been more lucrative in person and email. So it's going to look different for everyone. So get in like a little buffet season and figure out what that looks like and try on a bunch of different things and then see what fits for you because it's going to look different. I think, Jane, do you have a question? No? Okay, great.
So going back to the, even like the email thing, right? Like one of the things that Haley said is like, you know, she's getting really great open rates on her email and that's awesome. And she's writing her emails, long storytelling, all of those things. Mm-hmm. This is the beautiful thing about you guys all running your own business. Every single person in this room is an individual and you guys all get to build your business your own way. So if you guys open an email from Haley, you're going to get a story, a nugget, something about chaos. And I think your emails are a little bit longer, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, and then you're going to get one sentence
right.
from Jillian.
My emails are one sentence normally. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the Infinity Program? Did you hear today's podcast? Like they are one sentence emails because that's not my zone of genius. I'm not a copywriter, so I'm not going to sit down and try to write mm-hmm. it. So what I'm doing is something very different. I still have the same results. We sell a shit ton through our email list. We have a ton of open rates. But you get to do business how things feel good for you, right? So if you have an email list, and a great question to ask yourself is like, what type of emails do you read? Mm-hmm. What type of emails do you open, right? I don't personally read long emails. But if someone has like a one-liner, I'm like, I'm opening this. So I started to think to myself, well, if I'm opening this, people like me are going to open like this. People who have ADHD, people who are dominant, people who are quick, people have a million things going on. So it's like doing things that feel good for you and really looking at that data over and over and over. I sent out an email on Thursday. I had 57 replies back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I literally messaged my VA, OBM, the girl on my team, and I was like, can you send like an automation for this? Because I cannot like literally keep up. Mm-hmm. And what's happening now is people are used to these like one-liners and they're used to replying back. So again, you get to build your business and whatever feels the best for you.
Yeah. And I think you made up a good point about asking for feedback.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we assume what should be happening or what we should be doing because we're like, oh, obviously this makes sense and this is what people want. But at the end of the day, it's very likely it's actually not. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're doing ourselves a disservice and our target audience, our target market for who we're selling to by simply just not just asking them mm-hmm. what it is that they want. And it could be on the flip side too. If there's people who, you know, maybe you're having a conversation with and they seemed interested, but they don't actually purchase, open up the, channels of conversation to be like, hey, I would love some feedback as to why you didn't decide to go forward with the program. It's not like a punitive thing. Mm-hmm. And you can figure out a way that feels good to you to have that conversation. But I think it's really eye-opening, whether it's price, whether it's I was actually confused and not really clear on what it actually was. I wasn't sure, you know, tangibly what it did for me. And also acknowledging that there's so many different kinds of buyers. And so everybody's behavior is going to be a little bit different. So constantly being in the habit of being open to that feedback is only going to help in turn, like convert your sales a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to obviously go into four different buyer types, but I have a podcast directly based on this. And, you know, everyone's going to buy differently based on their styles, how they do things. And that's why it's important. You know, some people buy visually, some people buy audio, some people buy through a podcast, we buy through an email list. So it's important to kind of touch all of these different things because all of your buyers are very different.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I think it was like drinking from a fire hose.
I mean, I was here for it.
Are we good? Any questions?
I think this is long. My podcast episodes are 22 minutes. I'm like, that's like three episodes in one right now for me.
I know. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being here live. If you guys are listening, make sure to go over and follow both of us on the gram. I feel like we should do like a 1, 2, 3 and everyone yells seriously social at the same time.
I mean, I'm here for that.
Can we coordinate it together? Yes. Okay. We're going to do it 1, 2, 3 and then we're going to all yell seriously social. Okay, are we ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Seriously Social!
Thank you so much for tuning into the Sales and Social Podcast. If today's episode has you fired up and you loved it, could you do me a huge favor and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts? Or take a screenshot and share it on social media, and don't forget to tag your business bestie. And while you're there, connect with me on the gram at the Jillian Murphy. I'm on a mission to change the mindset of sales. I want people to love sales, because the reality is sales is the foundation of everything you do. It's how your business generates revenue consistently. So show up and be unapologetic about selling, because once you fall in love with selling, babe, sky's the limit. So I'll catch you on the next episode, but until then, feel free to slide into my DMs, because I cannot wait to get to know you better.